alright. Alright, alright, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. At least that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each episode, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome the Miracle Mike Bennett and his wife, former WWE diva Maria Kanellis Bennett, to the program. I look forward to hearing about how they balance home and family while still performing in professional wrestling. Mike and Maria Bennett, welcome to OWW Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to thank you both for appearing on the show. And Mike, before we start here discussing wrestling, I believe that you were born in Massachusetts. Are you a big Patriots fan?
I'm a diehard Patriots fan.
My family is from Lincoln, Rhode Island, and so they're all big Patriots fans. What did you even think about the Super Bowl? Was that incredible?
No, it was awesome. It's the best one I've seen yet. I've been watching it with my dad since I was a little kid, and that one was far the best one we've seen together, hands down.
Unreal. And it really does, I think, clear up the question that Tom Brady is now the greatest of all time. Hard to argue that, isn't it?
I don't think there's no question. Like, when people debate it, I just tell them, I said, you're just angry. That's all it is. Like, that's not even a fair assessment anymore.
I agree. And I hope that 2017 is going well for the both of you. In addition to that, Maria, I'll start with you. It's great to have you both on the program, but I wanted to talk a little bit about your background first. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Illinois, a small town outside of Chicago. It's called Ottawa.
And I know you were very athletic, you were very into sports, but were you always a fan of pro wrestling, though?
I was. I used to watch it with my little brother, and I actually broke my little brother's nose. And now I never hear the end of it because he has a deviated septum in his nose and he has to get surgery. So, yes, wrestling is... been in my life for a very long time.
Wow. And I know that you heard about the Diva Search casting call while you were watching Raw, correct? That's an incredible story.
Yeah, I was. I was actually watching Raw with my boyfriend at the time, and we were watching the show, and I was like, you know, maybe I should enter in it, and everybody was like, yo, just enter, you know, no big deal, you know, who knows what can happen. And so I entered, and I had met Trish Stratus like a few weeks before that. And I wrote in my application that I had met Trish, and I thought she was great and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't realize that I was actually making it into the next round because there was like 6,000 women that entered online and through casting and like agencies. And I was watching Raw like a few weeks later, and I saw my picture on the show, and I started screaming. And I ended up doing the Diva Search, and it was crazy, absolutely crazy.
You did place fifth in the Raw Diva Search, and then were sent to OVW, where you worked with Paul Heyman. What was he like to work with?
He's one, if not the best leader I've ever worked with. He's incredibly creative, and he knows how to pull out the best in everyone, no matter what your talent is. A lot of what I know comes from him.
Well, he's certainly quite a talent. And then you yourself brought to the main roster working as a backstage interviewer. At that time, though, Maria, did you think you would eventually make the transition to an in-ring performer?
It's weird because I had been training and everything down in OVW, but I thought that I was just going to end up taking a bump here or there, and I was just learning how to take bumps. But then gradually I had my first match with Lita on TV, and that led into more matches. And it's kind of like a little bit of an addiction where you get that taste, and then you have to go back for more.
Well, you began competing in the ring in 2005. What a roster of women at the time. Like you said, Lita, Trish Stratus, Mickie James, Victoria Molina, among others. I'm always fascinated, though, how difficult the actual training was for you to learn the ins and outs of being a pro wrestler, because I think we all think we can do it until you actually get trained in it. That's the reality of it. What was it like for you?
Well, I'll say this about if people think that they can do it. They can come on over to my husband's school and train with him for a week and let me know if they still want to be a professional wrestler. He actually has a school here in Rhode Island in Providence. And I think that people underestimate it because it is staged, because it is a television show, that people think that the chairs are made out of pillows and that the tables are flimsy. That's a real table and that's a real chair, and the bumps are real as well. And no one ever questions a stuntman if he's athletic, but somehow people think they can question wrestlers. So I find it interesting when people say that, but it was one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life, was training how to wrestle.
Yeah, I spent some time at Gilbert's Wrestling Academy in Maryland interviewing him and some of the other performers up there, and seeing the training was just remarkable. There's no question it is much more difficult than people think. I wanted to ask you if you could talk for a bit about what is required of a modern-day WWE diva in and out of the ring. It seems like it's an all-encompassing type of job.
It depends on who you are. I mean, there's some females that just focus on the wrestling part of it, and of course you have to have a look as well. And then some girls focus on the marketing aspect of it. Others focus on the management aspect of it. So I think that there's a lot of different styles of women in wrestling right now, which is exciting because people in general aren't a one-size-fits-all type of model. So to see so many different women and such a diverse group of women is absolutely incredible, you know, and it's nice to see. I mean, you know, you've got girls like Sasha Banks who worked her tail off on the indies and made it up to the main roster at WWE. And then you have other girls that started their wrestling career within WWE. So there's just a lot of different styles of and ways of making it.
Mm-hmm. You were part of a featured tag team match at WrestleMania 24. Can you explain the experience of what it's like performing in WrestleMania?
I will say this. No matter who you are, by the time you walk down the ramp and walk all the way out to the ring, you are exhausted. You can't breathe. those entrances at WrestleMania, as everybody saw at the Royal Rumble this year, those entrances are crazy. So just that alone makes it very different. The lights went out during our match, and I thought maybe Undertaker was doing a run-in. I wasn't sure what was going on, but they were having some electrical problems at that WrestleMania. But you can't, when you're in the ring, you can't hear the fans because there's just so many of them. So all you hear is this dull roar. So you really don't know if it's going well or if it's not. You're just hoping for the best.
Interesting. The roster of divas at that time was pretty diverse. You had strong, very physical wrestlers like Beth Phoenix, my all-time favorite, and you had someone like Kelly, a little bit more on the glamorous modeling side, if you will. How hard is it to kind of work with different styles, different females, different work rates in the ring? How hard is it for you to adjust to that?
Well, I mean, I was never the greatest wrestler in the world, but I knew what I was good at. And there were things that I liked to do. I loved being a babyface. I didn't mind selling for the other girls at all. It was one of my favorite things to do. So as long as each individual knows exactly what they're good at, then it makes it easy. Because then all it is, okay, you do that good, I do this good, all right, let's do this. It's when people don't know what they're good at, when they're brand new, that makes it tougher. But I loved working with all those girls, and I loved how many different styles there were. And now seeing Mickey back on TV just warms my heart because she really is a superwoman.
Mm-hmm. Your last match in WWE, I believe, was 2010. At that time, did you plan to continue your wrestling career or maybe look at other interests like music and modeling and those types of things?
I didn't know. My last match was against Natty. But I had just came off of Celebrity Apprentice, and I had a really good experience with that. I knew I had seen some of the initial cuts of the show, and so I kind of knew how I was going to come off on television. So I was excited about that. But I definitely wanted to do more. I had a lot of different ideas. I was so young when I started in WWE. I was 22 years old and never really experienced anything else. And so I wanted to get out there and see different things. And so they released me the day after my birthday. And I have to say that I was relieved. I was relieved because I wanted to try other things. I wanted to explore the world and see what I could do. And, you know, I tried music and realized I loved writing, but I didn't like performing the music part of it. I've pitched a ton of TV shows and things like that. And some of them have gotten some traction and some haven't. And now I've gone back to college, and I actually just finished my last class yesterday for my bachelor's degree. So I'll be graduating in May, and I'm super excited about that. It's in sports entertainment and event management, and I've started my own event management company. And so I'm starting to do a few events here and there. And so, like, I'm so thankful for how things turned out, because it makes you grow as a person when you no longer have the big machine of WWE telling you where you're going every single day.
Oh, congratulations on that. That's wonderful news. I know how hard it is to go back to school. Now, after you left WWE, you did start to make appearances in Ring of Honor with your now husband, Mike. I don't know the story. How did the two of you meet? Mike, do you want to share that with us?
Yeah, we actually met at an independent show in Connecticut, I believe. I was on the show at the company I worked for quite a few years at that point. And Maria had been booked on it. And we started talking to each other in the locker room. We just started joking over the fact that I was eating stale pizza that was in the catering. I use that word loosely. That was in the locker room at many of these indie shows. And we were just, we just started talking, and we just had a really good connection talking. But both of us were seeing other people at that point. So we were actually honestly just talking as friends, because we were both very loyal to whoever we were with. So we were just genuinely striking up a conversation. And then from that point, we went out to eat that night with all the other crew of the show. Maria started making fun of me for the way I was eating my mozzarella sticks, because I was eating them with a knife and fork, because I was trying to be polite and look like a gentleman, like I knew what I was doing. But apparently she wanted me to be a slob and eat them with my hands. We kept talking at dinner, and then we both kind of went our separate ways after that. Cause like I said, we were both dating other people, but we were following each other on social media and whatnot. And then a few months down the line, we both happened to be single at the same time. And I, the romantic man that I am, decided to send her a direct message to see if she would respond back. Cause I honestly didn't think she would respond. I thought I was crazy when I thought that we actually had some sort of a connection, but lo and behold, she thought we had a connection too. And my direct message swept her off her feet, apparently. So we started talking there, and then that went from direct message to text, to phone conversations, to a date. And then it's all history from there.
Yeah, that first date, he drove 9 hours to see me.
I did. It's true.
Oh, I was doing an appearance on the East Coast, and I asked him if where my appearance was close, and that he could come and drive and see me. And he's like, yeah, no problem. 9 hours later.
It was close.
Close,
my God, hours. It was worth it.
That's a great story. I wanted to talk about your background a little bit, Mike, because you grew up in the New England area. How did you get exposed to pro wrestling?
I would watch it on TV. No one else in my family was a fan, so I would just kind of watch it by myself. But I was
so sad.
It sounds sad, but it really wasn't that sad. I was just enthralled by it. I watched when I was real little, like 5 or 6, and then for a couple years, I fell out of love with it. But then I came back and started watching it again just because, you know, pro wrestling's just a staple on television. It's always on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just kind of fell back in love with it, and it just kind of, I don't know what it was. It's just one of those things that when I was like 12, I convinced myself, I was like, well, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. And from that point on, I knew it, believe it or not. I knew at 12 years old. So I just decided at 15 I was going to do it.
Mike, I got to tell you, I've been interviewing for a long time. It's one of the first times I've heard someone say that it was not a family experience. A lot of people watch it with their grandfather, their grandmother. Yeah, that's interesting that you were really the only one in your family that enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, you know, my brother, I had the younger brother and an older brother, and they weren't really into it at all. My sister, I have an older sister, and she wasn't into it. And my dad, honestly, was the furthest thing from a professional wrestling fan. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because I would watch it with my friends occasionally at their house, but most of the time it was just me watching it. I would watch it on my own. I would watch Monday Night Raw or whatever, and everyone else was off doing their own thing. So it was mm-hmm. kind of one of those loves that I had for myself, you know. But my family was supportive. Like, they weren't critical of the fact that I watched it. It was like I enjoyed mm-hmm. a show. Like, my dad liked watching Law and Order, so it was just like I liked watching WWE wrestling. So it wasn't really anything crazy. I just didn't have that bond with anybody.
I read that you debuted in 2002 and worked a lot of the territories in the Northeast, which has such a rich wrestling tradition. A great place for you to start earlier in your career. But were there aspects of the business, Mike, whether it be the traveling or the training or the wear and tear on your body that maybe you weren't ready for? I mean, being a fan is one thing, but here you are on the road now. How was that for you?
You know, I loved every bit of it. It was one of those things where I knew going in it was going to be difficult, but everything about wrestling I love. And to this day, I still do. Like, I love feeling sore after a match. It makes me feel like I actually did something. You know, I try to like equate it to a football player after they had a really good game or a tough game and they're beat up and they're sore. It makes them feel like they were just involved in something big. You know, the travel, I was very well educated on what wrestling entailed before I went into it. I did a lot of research and I talked to a lot of people. So I think I was, prepared for it. I mean, it was still incredibly difficult, but it was one of those things where it was like, I know this is going to be tough, but it was so much fun for me at the time, driving to shows and doing all that. And I think people forget, like, we get to travel the world and we get to see all these crazy things. Like, when I go home to where I grew up and I talk to my friends and I'm like, oh, you know, if I haven't seen them for a couple of years, I'm like, oh, what did you do the last 2 years? And they're like, oh, well, you know, me and my wife went on vacation for, you know, down to Florida, and that was pretty much it. And I'm like, well, geez, I went to Japan and Germany and Canada and England. And I went to 30 different states in the last five months. I'm like, but you know, to me, it's like the traveling is really cool. You get homesick but you know, to me, that's what all wrestling is. So you're either in love with all of wrestling or you're in love with none of wrestling. If you're a wrestler, mm-hmm. that's what I think.
In 2004, you defeated Brian Rogers to win the NEWA Heavyweight Championship, which really was the start of a stretch where you were winning many championships throughout the early part of your career. Very impressive. Fans sometimes place a great emphasis on titles and championships. What does it mean to the wrestler, him or herself, though? How much importance do you place on titles?
Well, I think it's a matter of what the title is and what company it's for. And that's not to knock any independent company, but I mean, in all honesty, if a company is 2 months old and they just bought a title offline and spray painted it a different color and crossed out the word WWE and put, you know, whatever alphabet soup their company is, and then they just say, hey, we're going to put the title on you, that may not mean as much as if you go to WrestleMania and you wrestle and win the WWE World Heavyweight title. I think everyone has their opinion on what they mean and what they are. To me, I think, again, it's just a matter of the company. I think if you're a company that's bringing in money consistently and you're a company that's traveling, if you're a TNA or a WWE or a Ring of Honor, I think those belts mean a lot more to people, or at least to me, just because of the prestige of it. I mean, I know from a personal level, when me and Taven won the IWGP tag titles, that to me was the coolest belt I've ever won just because of the prestige behind it. If you go through the list of the guys who have just won it and the guys who have won that belt, like, I just remember after we won it, I just, like, looked at Taven and I was like, we're now on that list. You can't take that away from us. We're on there. Like, that's it. There's only been a certain amount of people that have held this title and we're there. So, yeah, I mean, to me it's important if the prestige is there and the level is there. But to me, I'm all about entertaining and I'm all about putting on a good show. So if I go and I put on a good show and I know the fans are happy, that's more than enough for me. Yeah, of course, we all want that validation, you know, just like everyone wants to win a Grammy or everyone wants to win an Emmy. But at the end of the day, if they don't, I don't think you're really going to find an actor or a musician that's going to be like, well, I didn't have a very successful career. But and to me, that's how it is. If I go the rest of my career without winning a title, you know, as long as I'm entertaining and making a living being a professional wrestler, I consider that a success.
Who were some of your mentors earlier in your career?
Well, I had a few. Early on, one of the guys who trained, Bob Evans, he was a big mentor. To this day, he still is. Another person that was very influential was Steve Bradley. He was a WWE guy. He was in development for a while. He wrestled in the Northeast. He passed away in 2008, I believe. But yeah, he was someone who I was really close to. Those two, I mean, Steve Bradley had the biggest influence on my life. A lot of people say that my wrestling style and how I wrestle and how I move in the ring is very much similar to how he did.
Very good. You debuted in Ring of Honor in 2008 and had a very successful run with the company for the better part of 6 years. At this time, you started appearing on national television. Mike, how different is it knowing your matches are on national TV? Does it change your work rate, how you present your character in the ring? What kind of adjustments do you have to make knowing that?
I think you go in feeling like you're now wrestling for an actual professional wrestling company. Whereas before, I would feel like, you know, maybe you're doing your wrestling for like a town league softball team, you know, or you play amateur football or whatnot, or semi-pro football. But I feel like when you hit the national level, you're now a professional. And to me, it just brings a whole different dynamic to who you are, your preparation, how you work out at the gym, how you study, how you do everything. It's almost like, you know, you grow up and now it's time to put the big boy pants on because you're on national television. For me, I loved it. I was excited. I was ready to do it. And it just, knowing I was on national TV just made me work harder.
Mm-hmm. Well, you wrestled against some incredible talent in Ring of Honor, Steve Corino, Lance Storm, Jay Lethal, among others. And while you were there, you and Maria started performing together. Maria, I wanted to ask you, whose idea was it for you to start coming to ringside with Mike?
Well, we have been doing just a few indie shows every now and again, and then Ring of Honor actually invited me to come over. It was Hunter. It was also Jim Cornette, and it's funny because I never thought that I'd end up working for Ring of Honor, but then there I was. And it was supposed to be a one-time thing. And then they wanted me to come back the next time. And then they wanted me to come back the next time. So it wasn't supposed to be that way, but I mean, it's that saying that life happens when you're making other plans, you know?
Yeah, and you aligned yourself with Adam Cole and Matt Hardy, known as The Kingdom. a great faction there. How difficult is it to keep characters fresh? And can you discuss the creative freedom you had in Ring of Honor to kind of build your characters there?
Oh, it was fantastic. Because I came from WWE where I was the ditzy girl. And, hey, that character was so much fun. I mean, I got to work with everybody. I got to, you know, we got to have a lot of comedy skits. And it was great. But my segments were very short. I never had the freedom to just say what I wanted on the mic. That's really where it started, was because there wasn't a structured outline of what we were going to say, I just had to make it up. I had to figure out what I wanted to say within seconds, rather than having a piece of paper and reading it all day. I was coming up with this stuff, and I think that really it goes hand in hand with the guys. The guys there gave me that freedom as well, and I hadn't experienced that before, where I could be strong. I could be in these, you know, amazing matches, and they trusted me enough to be there when I needed to. Like the Briscoes, I owe everything to, because, you know, when you stand toe to toe with the Briscoe brothers as a female, it is incredibly empowering. And I figured if I could do that with them, then I could fight with anybody. Not literally. I mean, if I ever got in a fight with a dude, forget it. But I had that freedom to actually say something back. And, you know, my husband, he was behind me every step of the way, supporting me in that, afraid to start speaking out. And then Mike would ask me, what do you think? What do you think about this? How should we do that? Do you want to add anything? And that's really where it came from. And, you know, I have to say that without, you know, being invited to Ring of Honor, I probably would have walked away from wrestling completely because I was starving for that creativity.
Mike, I wanted to talk about some of your time spent working overseas. You mentioned in Ring of Honor, you worked for New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's a really big moment for a pro wrestler, isn't it, getting to travel overseas?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things I always wanted to check off the wrestling bucket list. But in all reality, I never thought Japan would be one of the boxes that I would check off the bucket list. It was always one that I always wanted to, but I never thought my wrestling style meshed. And then I learned that once I was invited over there, that they don't have a wrestling style. They just appreciate good wrestling. So it was really cool. And it was a really cool moment for me because I got to travel. The first time I went over there, I got to go over there with Maria and Adam Cole. So that was really, really cool for me. And then the second time I got to go over with Maria and Matt Taven. And then we got to go over a ton more times, the three of us. So it's cool to go over there. And then it's even better when you get to go over there with your wife and your best friends. So it really was, I hate to sound like a cliche, but it really was a dream come true.
That's fantastic. When did you open your wrestling school? Is this in Providence?
Yeah, me and Matt Taven opened it. I would say probably back in March or April. Does that sound about right? Yeah.
Yeah, almost been a year.
Yeah, so I would say probably back in March. We have a school here in Providence that me and Matt Taven have. We always wanted one. And we aligned up with a independent company out here called XWA. So and the three of us all aligned up, and we started this school, and it's been great so far. We're having a lot of fun.
That's excellent. Now, you and Maria, of course, married in 2014. Then you transitioned to TNA in January of 2016. How important was it for you, Mike, to still work together?
To me, it's extremely important. I tell people a lot of times that I feel like Maria and I have a dynamic that no one else has. I feel like there's a lot of couples in wrestling now, and I truly believe that me and Maria made it acceptable to be a cool wrestling couple again, because I feel like for so long, wrestling couples had such this negative connotation to them where everyone just assumed that, oh, you're a wrestling couple, well, they're going to be gone, you know, they're going to break up in however many time, or there's just so many bad things associated with wrestling couples. But I feel like me and Maria came in and we were like, well, we're going to do it because we know that we're not crazy like a lot of the other wrestling couples were that made such a bad name for wrestling couples. And I think that we brought something real to wrestling that hadn't been seen in a long time. And that was a genuine good wrestling couple that looked at each other as equals and not as one better than the other, or one person is a star and the other person's not. We came in and we both said, all right, Maria has a bigger name than I am, but I work for Ring of Honor right now. So we're going to both use that to make this one giant, you know, super wrestler, I guess that we are.
The brand.
Yeah. And I think it was extremely important for us to keep that going because I think it's something rare in wrestling now. Even with all the wrestling couples out there, I still feel like me and Maria have something that people just are attracted to and like to see. So to me, it's like, I want to keep that going because I think that's where we're going to be our most successful.
Well, yeah, you're very likable together. I have to tell you that when I was a child growing up, if I'd have known that Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth were married in real life, I don't know that I could have handled that. I didn't understand, you know, the inside and outside world of pro wrestling. But for the two of you, like you said, there are more couples out there, Cody and Brandi Rhodes, for example. Is it the element of realism at that point, though, that makes it easier or more difficult to tell good stories in the ring? Because people know you're together. I find that fascinating.
It depends on how you view wrestling, I think. If you view professional wrestling as real, then you're going to have a lot more difficult time. If you view it as we're actors that do our own stunts, then I think it's easy. Because then you go out there and then you can do anything. If you know when you go home, if you said something to that person in the ring and they didn't like it and that person thinks it's real, then you go home and you're angry with each other. But if you know that when you're out there, you're playing a character, then it doesn't matter what you say to each other. It's all part of the show. And that's when you can be truly creative with each other and have a lot of fun. And you know, there's something, I don't know, there's something unique about that in wrestling, that yes, there is an amount of realism of these couples that are actually together, but then there's other couples that aren't together that are on TV as well. And so you have all these weird little niches, but as a couple, you have to know that that's work. And when you come home, that's real life. Otherwise, I think that's where the struggle starts.
Interesting. I it's a fascinating aspect of your relationship. Like I said, when I was a child, I didn't realize some of the, you know, of course, the backstage, the business was not as open to us as fans as it is now. So, yeah, I appreciate your honesty there. You know, you've both been very successful in TNA. Maria, you won the TNA Knockouts title last year, and Mike, you yourself, a TNA X Division champion. Maria, first for yourself, how significant was it for you finally holding a promotion's top title?
It's weird, I'll be honest. I never thought I would get a championship. You know, there was so many times in WWE that I thought I was going to, you know, have a run at a title, and then it just never happened. So to finally be in a position to have held a title, it's incredible. And that title has so much prestige. And I truly believe that when TNA, not when they first started, but there was that time period there where it was Gail Kim and Awesome Kong, and they were just having those incredible matches that a lot of us from WWE were watching what the TNA girls were doing and how much time they were getting on TV and the ratings that they were getting and thinking, holy crap, that is amazing. So, like, I think that for me, there's just so much prestige to that title because of the women that built it.
Sure. It was a little strange working for TNA.
Oh, you know what? At this point, everybody works everywhere. Just give me a minute. I'll work somewhere else. You know, it's like, it's just crazy. It's exciting, though. I really think that it's an exciting time. Beginning of this year, we weren't quite sure where we were going to end up, but it's nice to have options. It's nice to know that, you know, there's NXT and WWE and New Japan and there's Ring of Honor. And so there, and just the independent wrestling scene alone is, there's just so many places to work now. And that really has made the talent grow. Because for a while there, no guys from the independents were being brought up. And I was at WWE when that was happening. And so it was just strictly WWE guys. And when they started bringing in the Daniel Bryans and the Punks is when, you know, this new era of wrestling truly began. And it's exciting.
Now, Mike, you mentioned that winning that tag team championship was a big deal for you in the previous part of the interview, but you then did win the TNA X Division title, defeating Eddie Edwards as a singles championship. Was that one of your most important victories?
Yeah, I mean, again, like I was saying earlier in the interview, I think whenever you gauge a title to by the company that it represents, I mean, there was a point in time where the X Division was probably the most prestigious belt in TNA. You know, having guys like Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels all having won that in the X Division was a style that no one else was doing at that time. I think at this time, you know, the X Division is taking on a new meaning because so many of the of wrestling now does that style. But to me, just again, knowing that speech, I'm kind of a wrestling history nerd, and I just I'm always in awe when I'm put in categories of people that I admire and respect so much. So, like I said, when I won the IWGP tag belts, in order to know that me and Taven were now on that list in history with those guys, it's incredibly humbling. And then you look at it now and you take the X Division to know that my name will now be on that list of those guys right next to it. It's very humbling to me.
Just a few more questions, and I'll let you go. I really appreciate your time tonight on OWW Radio. I wanted to ask each of you individually, what do you hope to still accomplish in this business? Maria, you first.
Oof, past year has been something else. And truly, going to New Japan was definitely something that I always wanted to accomplish, but never thought I'd have the opportunity to go. And this year coming up, I would love to see my husband win a world title. I'm looking at you right now. I'm looking at you. Because if, as much joy as I get out of performing, I get more joy watching him succeed. And so for me, it's the year of the miracle. And I want to see him win a world championship. But I mean, there's some other outside things outside of wrestling that I'd like to accomplish. And graduating from college is going to be one of them. I graduate in May, so it's going to be incredible. I'm going to grad school, and so starting that is going to be great. I'm hoping to own my own venue for events. So that will be another thing. And two, for us as a couple, we're looking at buying a house. So, like, you know, there's the really cool stuff of winning titles and that kind of stuff. But then there's like the real life stuff that we're working on. So there's a lot to do. And I have a feeling that this man next to me, the miracle Mike Bennett, has a lot more to offer in professional wrestling.
You do.
I'm expecting it actually.
I think for me, Maria hit the nail on the head. Like I said, I've never, again, go back to titles. When you take companies and their prestige, I've never been the guy. I've never been given the world heavyweight title or the world title by any major company and told, here, the company's on your back. So for me, I think that's something I want to accomplish, whether it's TNA, Ring of Honor, WWE, New Japan. I'm determined this year to win a world heavyweight title. And just be told, you're the guy. Here we go. Let's go. I think it's about time I checked that off the bucket list.
15 years
is enough.
That's good. 15 years.
Well, I certainly wish you both the best luck as you pursue that. I should know this, but in January 2014, I believe you launched a podcast called Mike and Maria in Wonderland. Is that still on the air?
It's not, no. We started doing Impact on Couch, which is every Thursday night. We didn't do it this week because of filming stuff for TV, but we do Impact on Couch, which is during the breaks of Impact, and it's basically Mike and I sitting on our couch with our three dogs answering questions. So you can watch that on Facebook Live on Official Maria Kanellis. That's my Facebook page.
Okay, good. I was going to ask you here before we close, at Official Maria Kanellis. Excellent. And by the way, for me, music was always a very important part of pro wrestling, the entrance music. I always thought, Maria, you had the best theme song of any of the divas. So I just wanted to mention that at the close of the interview. And one last thing, it's incredible you were on Celebrity Apprentice with now our president, Donald Trump. Is that surreal to you?
It's weird. No matter what anybody's beliefs are, I have to say that a man that was on a reality show should not be our president. It's just strange. I hope and pray for the best and for everyone in our great country that we will become an even better country. But it's very surreal, very, very
yeah.
surreal.
I'm sure it is. Before I let you go, I want to make sure I have your social media information so I can post it with the interview. Mike, where can your fans find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Real Mike Bennett. And then you can find me on Instagram at The Real Michael Bennett. And those are my only two.
Okay. And Maria, how about yourself?
Okay, you can find me on the Twitter at Maria L. Kanellis. You can find me on Instagram at Maria Kanellis, and then on Official Maria Kanellis. And if you want to see all my fun events and watch as I build this business of mine, you can follow me on Wed in Wonderland, and that's on Twitter. And that'll just bring you all over to my Instagram and all that kind of stuff as well.
Excellent. Well, I will make sure to post all of that with this interview. I want to thank you both so much for taking the time tonight. I really enjoyed speaking with both of you. And I wish you both the best, of course, outside the ring, looking for a home. And congratulations again, Maria, on your graduation. And as wrestlers, it's really been an honor to watch both of you in the ring. So thank you again for joining me this evening.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Don't forget to check out the OWW website and online worldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David. Thanks again to the miracle Mike Bennett and his wife, Maria Kanellis Bennett. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well that's okay.